This is Hi, I'm Goldman for The Peak, and you're listening to The Peak Elevated. This is our bonus interview segment with Mohammed Faridi, who is the director of Iranian Christians International, which is based here in the Springs and has its ministry here as well as over in Iran and in that area of the world. Mohammed, thank you so much for being on The Peak.
Thank you so much for having me, brother. And, it's always good.
And as I like to do at the end of the interview, I say, you know, what's really on your heart and did we, you know, we're not able to cover. And he said, I really want to talk about what's going on over there and how important it is for the church, especially, to get involved. We had, I hope you listened to the podcast that we did on this date, which is February 28th, 2024, so that you heard the commentary that Mohammed did about the Iranian Revolution of 1979, to lay a context for that. But let's go back to the Shah of Iran, his background, and then I want to hear about, you know, once you converted to Christianity, your experience, and then we'll take us back to what's going on over there right now and what you think we should do that will benefit all of us around the world, especially here in the States. So let's give a little background on the Shah himself.
Absolutely. The Shah of Iran, of course, he was installed by the Americans, and therefore he was very pro-American. He was a very educated person and pro-West, pro-anything capitalist. Iran was booming. The economy of Iran was very, very greatly, they call it the South Korea of the Middle East at that moment. There was a lot of trades going on. It was open to any sort of tourism and all that. A very, very safe nation. And all of that, unfortunately, I think the king of Iran, because he did not, the Shah of Iran, Shah Mohammad Reza, he didn't took Islam and the Islamists and the Ayatollahs inside Iran as seriously as his father. His father was a big opposition to anything Islamic. He wouldn't allow the women to wear their hijabs, the Islamic covering. He wouldn't allow, if you want to use anything governmental, you couldn't come in with the Islamic clothing. So the father understood the threat of Islam. But I don't think, because the son was sent over to the West for education, even though he was pro-America, but he was leaning toward the leftist ideology. It's not as dangerous as they say it is. So his education was in Switzerland. He got his doctorate, went back to Iran, and he was installed as a king by his father. After his father passed away, he became the king of Iran. And he cuddled up to the Muslims, to the Islamists, to the Ayatollahs inside Iran. And I think that was his
downfall.
The downfall. The Achillean heel. There's
the Achilles heel.
So, I think him thinking that he could be using the Ayatollahs as some sort of
a power base, yeah.
Power base or a political hand. I think that was his downfall when they totally betrayed him.
And then America's.
Unfortunately, we had a Democrat, a leftist that came in power in 1976. He came into power, Jimmy Carter, and at this time, the French, which they were very successful in regard to bringing the Algerian and the Moroccans and creating their own, creating a new voting bloc, they had the Ayatollah Khomeini in France propagating for him. And then that alliance, that unholy alliance, caused the betrayal to the Shah of Iran. They kicked him out and then they installed
Ayatollah Khomeini. And we talked about, you know, we're reaping that today in the United States and elsewhere in the world. Well, talk about when you, you know, escaped, you know, had to escape the Iranian guard, had a redeemed mind through, you know, coming, converting to Christianity, left Islam. What happened to you? How'd you end up in the States?
One thought before we go, that the same way that the America, they thought that the Ayatollah would benefit them, and they installed him, Jimmy Carter and all that. They saw that, and then we're reaping 40 years the havoc with Israel and also the propaganda in America. I believe now with the movement that is happening inside Iran, this absolute magnificent move of the Holy Spirit, this wave of conversion from Islam to Christianity, these Iranian Muslims that are converting, I believe if the American church or the America in general step forward and then support that move, we will reap the benefits of this conversion too.
Okay, so, and I want to get into more of those details of what's actually going on so people can know it's not just a hope, it's actually happening. But start with you, because the hope first came to you.
I would be the last person you would think ever would be a friend or an ally, because I was trained by the Revolutionary Guard of Iran in a very religious family. I was an extremist in the, if you put it in the Western terminology, I was an extremist because I self-flagellated. I would get a sword and cut myself because I was trying to identify with this dead imams that I one day I would get the honor to be with Allah, to be pleasing. I yearned for acceptance. I wanted to be approved by God, so I would do anything. I would cut myself, self-flagellate, beat my chest, beat my back with a chain. And all of that, if you would have, if anybody, the most radical Christian would look at a person like that, this guy is past hope, unredeemable. But God, out of his mercy, in 2 hours of conversation, Brother Chaim, with a friend of mine who converted, he was a convert himself, he talked to me about the sacrifice, the suffering of Jesus, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and that's all I needed to hear. Everything that I was trying to do to gain salvation, he said it was already done in the person of Jesus Christ. So, and I knew that the war is over. The war I was trying to fight to please God, it was already over. That war was won by Jesus Christ. And that was the best message I've ever heard in my life. I converted to Christianity. I was part of an underground church of Iran for about 3 years. And that put things in a very dangerous situation, not only for me, but for my family. So I escaped Iran and came out.
Okay. And you've been in the States since?
June of 2012.
Okay. Yeah. So talk to us about what's going on. You, I mean, that's the where your ministry mostly happens. You get information from, you know, from right on the ground all the time. Mm-hmm. What do you see as the state of Islam and Christianity in Iran, and what are the implications of that?
I see hope. I really do. I 20 years ago, 25 years ago, I didn't. But today I see it. There was a survey done. You can search it online. The organization that done it is in the Netherlands. It's called Gaman. They surveyed 50,000 Iranians who lived inside Iran about their religious beliefs. One-third, they only, out of 50,000 people that they surveyed, less than one-third, they believe in Shia Islam. Two-thirds, they believe in something other than Islam. So Iranians by millions are leaving, abandoning Islam. And I think that now they're open. They weren't open before, but now they're open. And the message of Christianity, the message that you, that the war is over, that you don't need to hate people, you don't need to hate infidels, you don't need to hate Jews, I think it's tremendously resonating with him. And they're converting by droves to Christianity. And I believe that's the hope.
And we have to remember, Iranians are Persian. They're not specifically, Arabs. They're not Arab specifically. Mm-hmm. And there's a great history. You can go back and read the book of Esther. Mm-hmm. And that connection that your queen a long time ago was Jewish. So really, these nations should be at peace with each other. But it's Islam that brought the war so that the end of Islam can end that war. But how do you see that affecting us back here in the Springs, and what can we do? Seemingly, our government is not going to support Christianity anywhere. You know, what can we do here, I guess, as the local church to help what's going on over there? Because the implications of it, again, we're reaping the Islamic revolution here now. You have to very much go back and cut things at their root, right?
Yeah, exactly. And until you don't deal with the Iran Islamic regime of Iran, until you don't deal with that, you won't deal with the problems in Middle East, because they are the number one financier of terrorism and the propagating of the hatred toward the Jews. They are the hatred of the Jews came with Islam 14 centuries ago inside Iran. Pre-Islam, if you look at the history in...
Well, we had it with Haman, but yeah.
Of course, it was a Canaanite, wasn't right. A Persian. But even in that situation, you see that God miraculously worked through the kings of Iran. And even the Western Wall inside Jerusalem or inside Israel, it was financed and built by the Persians. So
Okay.
We need to keep that in mind.
Okay. Yeah. Mohammed Faridi, thank you so much for giving us this bonus interview. We can talk forever, and we do. We got to go out for coffee soon.
Absolutely.
You've been listening to Mohammed Faridi, aronchristians.org. Aronchristians.org is a website. I'm Chaim Goldman for The Peak.